Hey everybody, Steve DeLaviaga, our Sales Excellence Podcast. I am super excited because we got literally, Chris was one of my first partners out of the gate. He's the Chief Real Estate Officer for Ojo Labs. We've been partners together now for 2.5 years. Mr. Heller, how the heck are you?
Doing great. Excited, always excited to chat with you. It's fun talking to someone who speaks the same language. So,
we were just chatting a little bit offline about how you and I have now we're seeing that shift. You and I have been through that, but let's talk a bit about Ojo, man. What a great story. You've done a phenomenal job. You and I made a little bit of a bet 2.5 years ago, didn't we? We said teams were going to jump on this success-based lean bandwagon. And up until that stage, neither Ojo or OpCity or anybody else really had thought that teams would embrace leads. And talk about how you had that vision and you were good enough to bet on us at Rise to give that opportunity. Talk a bit about that vision you had.
Yeah, look at first of all, there's some incredible individual agents out there. So this is not a slam against individual agents. But teams inherently, because of the structure they're set up, do some things really well. And again, another disclaimer, not all teams are created equal. So the right teams and the good teams do things really well. They have internal accountability. They have internal follow-up systems. By virtue of building a team, you have to have systems and processes. And in the game that we play, the agents that have the best systems, the best processes, and the most consistent and persistent follow-up are the ones that win. And sometimes for an individual agent, it's hard to be juggling so many things, whereas the team can have dedicated people to do some of those things and to really have strong processes.
What I love about it is we've proven a couple of things. One, when there's an accountability leader within that team, you can have newer, somewhat inexperienced agents be receiving those leads if they're following the conversions process, algorithm, and data science. You don't need to be someone who's been in it 10 years. You can be in it 6 to 8 months, have a quality, appointment, location, motivation, and then be fast to the answer. You can close 10, 15, 20 deals a year in this success model with an ROI, as you and I know, that's 10 or 15X what you outlay to be in it.
I'll share with you a conversation I had no less than an hour ago with our team where they said, hey, we have these teams adding lots of team members. We need to make sure that we're vetting those team members. I said, I want you to challenge yourself to think differently about that. I want you to challenge yourself to think about how we can vet the teams, make sure the teams understand how to win with us, and make sure the teams are acutely aware of they'll be judged on the performance of all their team members. So it's not, hey, how many team members can I get add on? Which team members do I want to add on that are going to elevate the team versus having a weak link that ruins it for everybody?
I'm spoiled because you and I are like-minded. I tell our teams all the time, you are the accumulation of your entire score in this scoreboard. So you can't just have two good ones and put 10 idiots in there. It's got to be where everybody understands what the role is going to be. And to your point, when I hold the accountability leader accountable, they take care of everybody else. And the good ones cycle agents out quickly if they're not going to pay attention, if they don't use the snooze button, if they're not moving people through the pipeline, the communication pathway, they don't play very long. And those are the ones that keep getting better leads and better scores.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you mentioned a great point earlier. All the aggregators now, we're in the shift. Leads are down. Tell me what that means, and then tell me what you think what the teams and the other single agents got to be doing if they're going to continue to grow in this market that's going to be declining for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah, so I think most people around the country are aware or have at least heard, even if it's not happening or they don't see evidence in their market. Although I would challenge that there probably is evidence, but they may not be paying attention to it, that things are changing, right? Velocity is slowing down. Confidence levels have been impacted. Affordability index has gone up because of, the supersonic appreciation that we've experienced and rising interest rates. There's all these things happening, which are causing markets to slow down. As markets slow down, inventory will start to accumulate as you have the carryover effect of inventory from 1 month carrying over the next month and so on. That brings supply and demand, more close to a balance. And sometimes that balance even tips and goes the other way. And that's likely to happen. Does it happen this year? I don't know. And how much does it go the other way, and for how long? We could debate that, you know, till the cows come home, and no one knows for sure. But that's all happening. One of the byproducts of that is you have fewer consumers more consumers take themselves out of the market from a buying standpoint. And so online traffic starts to drop down. And when that happens, you know, lead count starts to drop down. So as agents, that means that we have to get even better and even more effective in taking advantage of the opportunities that we have. And that becomes a real key point.
You think about it, right? You hit it on the head. There's going to be less consumers to go after. So now only the best of the best are going to win them or earn them, especially in these success-based models, which you and I have become accustomed to, where, look, if you're going to win this opportunity, your click times in Arizona are under 2.7 seconds, right? Nevada under 3 seconds. And this is going to continue to be the piece. So you might have needed maybe 5 leads to close 2. Now you're going to need 20 leads to close 2. That's where this is going to roll to.
Yeah. And it's not, it's yes, become better. And also understand that the conversations that we need to have with buyers and sellers change. I love the Ojo swag that you're sporting there. I don't have mine. I just have a plain name. So anyway, as agents, when things start to shift, the conversations that we have need to change, right?
Yes, sir.
Educating buyers and creating urgency through education, educating sellers that, hey, there's a counterintuitive concept of not pricing too high that we need to understand so that you don't price yourself outside the market and then have to chase the market to get to the right price and end up leaving money on the table in doing so. So there's that education piece. Then there's setting expectations. You know, if I put my home on the market right now as a seller, my expectation is I'm going to get 27 offers and it's going to go for $100,000 over my asking price. That may not be the case in some markets anymore. And so we have to help educate and set the expectations so that you don't have, I'm using an example of sellers, you don't have sellers saying, well, Steve, what are you doing? It's not working. Or why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you doing that? Or I need a new agent. You know, those
every relationship comes down to one thing in the beginning, the expectation set, right? In anything. And now you've got 745,000 agents who got their license from 2011 onward, who have never done a price reduction, never done an expectation setting of, hey, this may have to reduce prices every week for the next 6 weeks. They've never even had those conversations. So I always say this, we're going from an activity-based market into a skills-based market. If you're not investing in your skills right now, that's going to be a problem, because there's no market savior. You can't outrun the real estate market, and it's moving this direction. So let's shift a little bit, because I love what you did and I loved your book. Thank you. It was fantastic. I appreciate you sending me one. Now we're going into a mindset shift. Now we're going into something a little bit different. And oddly, your timing is perfect. So talk a little about your book. What caused you to write it? You've got such a great background. So talk about Dominant Thoughts and how you got there.
I had to queue up my new background since you made the transition. I've always been of the belief that 90% of what it takes to be successful is what happens in here, what we think about and how we think about things. And, you know, when I look back at my journey, two things really stick out. One is I've had a lot of great mentors. I've been fortunate to have the type of mentors a lot of people don't get to. And I've learned a lot in that process. And then I also look back at some of the books that I read early on. Now I read a lot of books, but early on, like in my early 20s, I read some books that were in the format that this book is written in, as a business parable. You know, The Richest Man in Babylon is one that always comes to mind. These are books that had a tremendous impact on me and shaped not only who I am, but my career. And so, you know, I wanted to take some of those lessons that I've learned and put them into that type of story and make it a quick and easy read. It's 118 pages and, you know, it gets read in one or two sittings. And
as a sales guy, I loved it. right? Because I could get it read over a glass of wine or two. I could consume and circle stuff and go back and easily find it. And you had the great privilege of being the CEO of Keller Williams, working with a guy like Gary Keller day in, day out, who's without question the most influential real estate icon we've got. He's done more for the realtor than anybody in the history of real estate. Tell me what that was like a little bit.
Hey, it was great. I'll answer your question what that was like. It was great. You know, every time I've had the opportunity to work with someone like Gary or, you know, Anthony Hsieh, the, you know, self-made billionaire founder of Loan Depot, or Mike Ferry, who the day he announced in 1996 that he was going to have coaching, I signed up first and then became one of the first five agent coaches that he hired to coach. All of those were great experience where you learn, you know, and get stretched in a lot of different ways. You know, with Gary, it was accountability, like getting accountability a whole nother level. No leader is perfect. So if you're paying attention, you learn a lot of things to do and you learn a lot of things of not to do. You learn how to be and how not to be, and equally as important and equally as valuable. And so, you know, those were just, you know, invaluable experiences to be able to learn and grow with.
You made a great point. And I say this, I came from a single family home and my dad was not involved in my life. And I tell people all the time, you can learn as much or more from things that you did not like or trust in a leader that then helps you become, I'm a better dad because of the dad I had, because I didn't want to have that experience with my children, right? And I feel like we use excuses like X or Y. I loved your book because you said the same. You said, listen, I can learn good or bad from people every single time. And then I take that and it goes into my tool chest behind me here. And I use that as I become an accelerated leader in my world. So if you were going to say, like, give me the one or two things you hope people get out of it that read, they go, man, it was either X or Y for me. What would that look like?
Yeah, there's, so each chapter, it's a story about a mentor and a mentee. Each chapter hits on a different theme or lesson. So one of them that I think is one that's super valuable, has been for me, is the concept of not being attached to the outcome. If people can really get that, like really get it,
it's a hard thing to get, isn't it? It's crucially important if you're going to be great, because you're never right all the time.
You're never right all the time. And if you really understand it, when you're attached to the outcome, you're at a disadvantage. You're dealing at an emotional level, not at an intellectual or logical level. And when your emotions get involved, it's hard to be objective. It's hard to make good rational decisions. When we're helping clients, it's super important for us to do that because our clients are going to be emotional. If we're equally as emotional, that's like adding gasoline to a fire. The most effective poker players, negotiators are the ones that, hey, they're committed to an outcome. They want to win and they're committed to win, but they're not attached to it. And when you're not attached to it, you can be more effective. You can be more powerful and come from a place of power.
It's such a powerful thing to be a truth teller and also be part of the solution, right? To have an idea of how you want it to be, but knowing as you gather data, because the path is always in the math, hey, this, now I got to pivot. This isn't going to work anymore. I thought it would work, Now I see it, not going to pivot. And so many people get so committed, like you say, attached to their way, they won't move. And I'll tell you, the best leaders I have are not afraid to say, hold it. This is not right.
Yeah.
And especially you and I right now, we're finally moving into a market where what you did before isn't going to work the same. That's it, the end. You have to be able to pivot. So if you're out here listening, ask yourself, what are you willing to pivot on? Don't be attached, to Chris's point, to the outcome. Be committed to winning, but winning might look like this now instead of just like this, as it's looked easily for the last 3, 4, 5, 7 years.
Yeah. And if you don't know, to your point, you know, if you've been in the business for you know, 10 years, 11 years or less, you haven't experienced this type of shift. You've only experienced a market going in one direction. So if you don't know, ask someone who does, ask someone who's been there. Hey, what do I need to be doing differently? What do I need to be changing? Here's a good example. Buyers that are really active in the market are keenly aware of what's going on because they're just watching day and night. They're seeing price reductions. They're seeing, now not necessarily prices come down, but asking prices being reduced because they were, you know, seller's price too high. And a lot of times agents who are, have been in it, you know, so deeply that they haven't picked their head up to look around, don't realize that things have changed. So buyer says, hey, I think we can get this property at this price. The agent says, oh no, you have to offer this price. And then the agent gets surprised that seller actually accepted what the buyer wanted because the buyer is like actually more in tune with what's going on right now versus what was going on. With sellers, it's the opposite. Sellers are always looking in the rearview mirror. So those
what
are just
their neighbor got, what the house just got.
Yeah. So as agents, we need to be really mindful of again, educating our clients is as important as anything else we could do for them.
I'll tell you what, Chris, I've seen this the last 3 weeks. I haven't seen it the last 6 years. Teams doing 25 or 30 million are folding into teams doing 150 or 200 million because they want what you want, which is, I want to learn from this group. I've taken my team to here or my business to here. I'm going to fold in now with someone who's bigger, better, has a little more bandwidth where I can get a little more knowledge, learning, mentor, et cetera. So I think that's coming. All right. We do a game on the podcast. It's rapid fire, 5 second answers, 5 questions. You ready?
Ready.
All right. So in the next 12 to 18 months, success model, I don't think you're going to be able to buy a lead in the U.S. It'll all be success-based. Yes or no?
I don't know. I don't think it'll transfer completely to that in the next, within the next 12 months, but the majority will, and we'll be well on our way.
Got it. All right. Amazon, Google, and Facebook getting into real estate and the lead game in the next 12 months.
Directly, no. Indirectly, yes.
Okay. Hold on. Now pause. I want to hear more about that. Tell me what that means.
Oh, look, indirectly, they already are.
Yeah, they are. They're playing with Realogy. They're selling PPC. Now you're doing searches on Facebook. Yeah, I see you. But I feel like that gets deeper with the consumer.
It could. The thing that the reason that may not is because of the shifting market. You know, a lot of things change when we go from a market where everything works to where it's now a lot of things aren't working.
Exactly. All right. 1.78 million licensees. How many are there in 12 months?
Less. Yeah, it could be in 12 months. Yeah, it takes a while to ship. We've seen this. Yeah, I've been through this like multiple times in the last, I'm coming up on my 40th year of doing this. It takes a while for that ship to start to turn. So I think there'll be less, but that really won't show up for maybe like 24 or 36 months.
Got it. Will there be more or less portals in 2 years?
Less.
Great. Are you going to see brokerage models continue to be kind of that pay little, get little, no bricks and mortar? Is that going to be the primary broker model? We're going to go back to kind of a training in-house bricks and mortar model. What do you think?
More of the latter. It's going to be, brokerages are going to look more like big teams. They're going to have to provide a lot of value and a lot of services and a lot of leads. And whether that's virtually or not is, you know, that's a separate issue, but it's not going to be, agents, I believe, are going to be less concerned with the ultimate commission split and what they pay and more concerned with what they're getting.
Price is only an issue in the absence of value, as you and I know.
Yep.
Got it. All right. Future for Ojo, right? You've really led this whole thing the last 2.5 years. You've got it moved into teams. Our network loves your Ojo leads. I think we are the largest converting partner with you. And our people, like, they vie to get in the program to go through it. And your team's been so fantastic. So what are you focusing on the next 6, 12, 18 months?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Number one, we are very, very, very much focused on two key things. And one is, how do we generate more leads and how do we get higher intent leads? So that's something that is, you know, that's one of the beauties of our business model. It's whatever is great for the agents is great for us and vice versa. So there's that good alignment. The other thing that we look at as a company is our goal is to be able to help consumers at whatever stage they're at. So to keep building out our marketplace, so wherever that consumer needs to go or whatever services they need, we can help provide that.
I love it. I also feel like you're top grading your membership. I feel like you guys have called, we've talked a little bit about this, and you guys started top grade and going to just kind of your best agents getting more leads. Is that something that's happening as well?
It is. We we were in rapid growth mode. And to make sure we had coverage everywhere we need coverage, we had to lower the standards to get people in fast. Now we're going through a process of really looking at who's performing, who's not, who's updating their statuses, who's responding to the opportunities, who's accepting opportunities, who's converting. And the cream will slowly rise to the top, and the best will get more opportunities.
I love it. All right. Tell us how to get your book. And I recommend anybody in real estate who plans on staying in real estate for the next 2 years should get a copy of your book. How do they do it?
Hey, you can go to our website, dominantthoughts.com, or just find us on Amazon. In both cases, you end up at the same place. And especially for those of you, here's what's been happening, which has been really cool and something that I hadn't thought about, but we're having a ton of teams and in brokerages ordering it for their team members. Because it's almost a book that when a team leader reads it, they go, my team needs to read this. So if you are going to order in amounts of 20 or more, then go to the website and tell us that, because we can get copies at a discount from what you'll pay on Amazon.
I love it. Chris, man, thank you for being a great partner, brother. I love working with you. You're fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Likewise, Steve. Keep it up.